Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen. Good afternoon and welcome to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We appreciate you tuning in today. And it is fall here in the mountains of Western North Carolina. Got a lot of leaf lookers coming this way and different things that's going on in the mountains here. Fall events. We got over down in Highway 64. Got a lot of the different apple orchards have got their crops coming in at this time. And I was able to go over and get me a box of apples there the other day and enjoyed that. What a blessing. Amen. If you never paid a visit to the mountains here in Western North Carolina, come on up and be with us. Come down 64, Highway 64, and check out all the different events that are going on. Just some good, clean family fun, amen, here in the mountains of Western North Carolina. And you won't be too far from Hoopers Creek Baptist Church as well, so come by and pay us a visit, amen. 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road here. At this time, we're going to be looking at the subject, once and for all. I'm thankful that our sins have been taken care of under the blood. Amen. Once and for all, thank God. We are looking at chapter number 9, and I want to start reading in verse number 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. At this time, we'll pick up in verse number 10 by way of live recording, part 2 of the message, Once and For All.
Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Now, that time of reformation is a time where things are going to be set right. It's a time which all of these things that have been spoken of, that these things were a type and shadow of the things to come. Amen. The Old Testament time, New Testament fulfillment. And so what you're seeing is this: there's going to be a time of reformation when all of these things are done away with. Amen. And then all of these things are going to be made new in a different way. Notice verse number 11. I love this right here. But Christ, being coming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I tell you tonight that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was once and for all. It's finality. It's done. It is finished. What Christ said at the Calvary, at the cross of Calvary, was accurate. Amen. The Lamb died, thank God. We now have access to the very thrones of God. Listen, the Bible said over there, look at verse 13 again. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause, thank God, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I got to thinking about this thing. If you take your Bible and go back with me to Luke, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. But Christ being coming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, if you go there, you'll find that in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23, and if you'll look down there with me to verse number 45, what you're going to see is this, You're going to see that separation. Amen. You're going to see that veil that once stood between the first sanctuary and the second sanctuary. That first sanctuary, the priest could enter that all the time, but couldn't go but one time a year into the holy place. Amen. To the holiest of holies. That partition. Amen. That wall of separation. But notice, thank God, when that more perfect sacrifice seems to come to us. Amen. Over there in Luke chapter 23, verse number 45, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. You say, what are you talking about? From top to bottom, amen. That veil of the temple, that middle wall of separation that kept us from the holiest of holy. You say, what are you saying? I'm trying to tell you that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we gained access to the very throne of God tonight. And amen, you and I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't mean nothing to me, preacher. It sure does mean something to me, hallelujah. Amen. I got a high priest tonight. Amen. Let's not separate. Look here. I can walk up right now, bow down my unworthy head, and speak to the God of heaven right now tonight. I've got access. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. The death and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ was finished once and for all. Can I tell you tonight that his work was perfect? What Christ did was perfect. It was perfect in every way. He was the perfect lamb. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect man and perfect God. You couldn't ask for a better scenario, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ was it. Now, I want to tell you tonight, what's happened to us is we've become ungrateful. We've lost the vision of what Christ did for us. We've lost the vision of how that Christ died for our sins and why that he really died. Do you know the reason why that Jesus came here? The Bible said over there in Matthew chapter number 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So I tell you tonight that when it comes to that of our sins, when it comes to that of our, you could say our iniquities, when it comes to that of our record account, I tell you, when it comes to that of sin, my account is very high when it comes to the sinful things that I've done. I thought about how that my sins have surely mounded up over the course of time. How that my sins, no doubt from the time that I was young until the age of 43 years old, my sins, and the account of my sins, you know, they're keeping record account of those things. No doubt, man, that list is long. Man, a man could just about get in depression thinking about those things. Man could just about go crazy thinking about, hey, if we had to stand alone. If we had to go and stand before the judge of all judges, the Bible said this. It was once appointed unto man a time to die. Once appointed unto man a time to die. I don't know when I'm going to die. You don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know when you're going to die. Tonight could be somebody's last night. I hope not, amen, but it could be. But you think about that, man, we've got that waiting on us, that appointment with death. We got that appointment waiting. Was once appointed. And only God knows that appointment that you and I have tonight that we're facing, that great appointment with death. The worst of all would be this, to have the appointment with death. It's once appointed unto man a time to die, but after this, the judgment. That speaks that there is eternal life somewhere. After this, the judgment. Now, friend, I want you to know to stand without a Savior, to stand without the blood, to stand without, stand without the atoning price that's been paid for your sin, to stand without that and to give a record account in the judgment of all the things that you've accomplished, all the things that you've done in your sinful life, I tell you right now, that's scary to think about. How many's ever had a speeding ticket? Now listen, some of the most troubling things in your life is to stand before that earthly judge. I never will forget the first time I went in the courthouse, and I never will forget when I approached the bench, you know, and you got that DA standing there, you got all them people there, you know. I never will forget how nervous that I was. I didn't want nobody to know it, but I was nervous being in that room and just knowing that judge could make or break my pocketbook at the moment, amen, not knowing what the outcome was going to be. And I got to thinking about that later on. I began to think about how that one of these days I'm going to stand before God in the judgment, and to have to stand before God and to give an account of all of my sins and all of the things that I've done wrong. I can only imagine how terrifying that it's going to be for those that are lost tonight, that don't know Christ as their personal Savior. It was once appointed unto man a time to die. And after this, after what? After death, the judgment. Can I tell you tonight? Well, all I've been talking about the finality of His work and the perfectness of His work, I'm glad to have what the Word of God goes on to tell us, that He has purged our conscience once and for all, thank God. Over there in verse number 13, if you will, look, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. Notice what verse 14 says. How much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offer Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? That word purge right there has to do with cleansing. It has to do with being clean. And if you look down in chapter number 10, verse number 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. How awful. How awful of a situation that would be. To know that, listen, while those sins were being offered for, they're not going to make you perfect. While they're doing the very best they can to offer for the sins of Himself, the priest, and also for the people, the Bible says right there that it's not perfect. It's a payment. You can say it this way, it's a down payment on an ultimate loan. It's a down payment to satisfy, but it doesn't pay it off in full. But notice verse number 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, look here, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. Once He forgives our sins tonight, friend, can I tell you this? Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you give your life totally over unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And the night that I got saved, friend, I don't understand how it works. I can't really see it in my mind or in my heart. I'm doing the best that I can do to describe it tonight. But as a 7-year-old boy, as I knelt down that night and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and to become my personal Savior, this is what took place. My sins from that moment we're gone. You say, why, preacher? Because I got a lamb, thank God. And that lamb, amen, look here, took my place. He took my, not just He took my place, but He also took my sins and nailed them to His cross, and they're never coming back again. Psalms chapter number 103 said this, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Amen. And they tell me if you get an airplane and you start flying east, you'll never get west. Thank God. What were we talking about tonight? Our sins are gone, but by a perfect sacrifice.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.